So I thought it would be good for us to consider the cross and really get that into our system this year in a new and reviving appreciation for that. So we'll get into a series, At the Cross. Do you know that with the material in the Gospels, one third is devoted to the events in the last week? Now, that's a lot. And that reveals the importance of those things. So today we'll be thinking about how God arranged our meeting with Him. How the Lord God, in His perfect holiness and justice and cleanness and purity and integrity and perfection, could meet with guilty, rebellious, contaminated, polluted, filthy sinners. How could that happen? He arranged that for us. And that's going to be the gist of what we think about today. So in thinking then about the cross, what is that? The death on the cross was an execution, a criminal punishment. And that's what Christ went through. The torturous death of crucifixion. When we think about the cross, we don't value the lumber. It's not the wood, although we say the cross. It's the death on the cross. Interesting what history reveals, that people have claimed to have original pieces of the cross. And they have gathered enough of those to build about 10 houses. So you can see how people would use that. That one reason I'm glad that we have not discovered Noah's Ark is that people would commercialize it and sell off pieces and make it such a human thing. So it's not the lumber, but we remember that it is an execution. It's the carrying out of the death penalty. And it's a torturous death. And the cross is not pretty. Also, as we think about the cross, it is a sacrificial death. The Old Testament sacrifice was not a willing offering. That lamb was not willing, but the Lamb of God is. So it's a sacrificial death as an offering to the justice of God, as a substitute, voluntary and sinless. Now, the next thing we need to know about the cross is that it is a propitiation. Now, there's that word. It's translated four times in the New Testament, and we'll look at two of them in just a moment. Propitiation. And as mentioning before, that here's a word that probably most Christians haven't even heard of, let alone have any sense of the meaning, yet it is the heart of the gospel. It is the heart of our salvation. And it's a kind of a difficult term, propitiation. I was mentioning before that in Bible college and seminary, you run across big words like supralapsary in view of the decrees of God, the antilegomena and the pseudepigrapha regarding the books of the Bible. And I learned another big word more recently in my life, It's called Acidophilus. I thought Acidophilus traveled with the Apostle Paul, but no, it has to do with our health. So, propitiation. What does it mean? It's a description of what is called the mercy seat. The mercy seat is the covering on the Ark of the Atonement, which was placed in the Holy of Holies. And the top of that ark of gold were two angels facing each other. The high priest got to go in there one day a year on the Day of Atonement and sprinkle blood as an offering of sin for himself and for the people. And that's where God's presence was revealed. That's where God met them in the Old Covenant. That's the mercy seat. And the basic meaning is satisfaction. God is satisfied. That was temporary. So it's the covering on the ark. Now, in the New Covenant, it is the blood of Christ where God meets the sinful man. And there is a reconciliation where we were once enemies. We are now brought together in friendship with God, brought into his family. Now, would you turn to Romans chapter 3, and I'll begin reading at verse 21. Romans 3 and verse 21, and this brief section of Scripture is really one of the very most significant in all the Bible. It would do us well to study this in depth. Romans 3, beginning at verse 21. Now, up to this point, Paul has been explaining to the Jews that they are not better than the Gentiles, but that they need to be saved by faith as well as the Gentiles. And he's explaining that the law could not save them. And he writes in verse 21, but now, that is, in the new covenant, the righteousness of God apart from the law, you need to underline that in your Bible, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now that's a marvelous verse in the context. It means there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. We've all sinned. There's no difference between any people. We've all sinned. And verse 23 is a marvelous verse as we use it in witness to unbelieving people. Now, there are many decent human beings who live here on earth who have never committed any gross social sins. They have never murdered. They've never robbed the banks. They've never done anything externally, visibly gross. So they think, well, I'm all right. Well, this verse levels us all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Are you, O sinner, telling me that you are worthy of God, worthy to be in his presence, and you have nothing wrong with you? Don't compare yourself to me. compare yourself to the God himself. So that's a marvelous verse. Verse 24 is the heart of the gospel. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is enough right there for us to believe about salvation. But he goes on in verse 24 again. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. That is, he didn't judge them all immediately. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Here's our word. He sent Christ to be the propitiation by his blood for our faith. Now, there are four times this word is translated propitiation. We'll just read this one passage. Are they listed in the bulletin, those four?
Yes.
Okay, so you could look at those, and it'll be important to look at those. Now, not everyone has translated that word as propitiation. Some have translated it as expiation, but who knows what expiation is? So let's work on expiation. Why would they translate it like that? It's a good word, glorious meaning. It covers a lot of ground, like the covering for sin, including atonement. Atonement literally means covering. The blood of Christ is the covering for our sin. Expiation deals with it. It deals with the putting away of our sin. Paul wrote to the Hebrews to say that. He sacrificed himself once to put away our sin. It's the rubbing out of sin. It deals with sin so that sin is no longer a barrier between us and God. That's expiation. It's good. Now, propitiation is all of that and more. What does propitiation mean that exceeds expiation? Propitiation is all that and means the satisfaction of God's justice. The key word is satisfaction. God's justice has been satisfied through the offering of our Lord Jesus Christ. It also means the removal of his wrath. His wrath is quenched and appeased, and God is satisfied. Now, God, in forgiving sinners, makes no compromise. He doesn't forgive sinners because we're sorry, or we weep, or we display emotion. He only forgives sinners because Christ died for us. That's why he can be satisfied that his justice has been fulfilled. He doesn't punish sin twice because the cross of Christ is an adequate payment for our sin. So I hope we catch this. Expiation deals with sin. Propitiation deals with God's wrath and justice, and that his wrath has been removed. And here's a summary. By his sacrificial death for our sin, Christ has pacified or appeased the wrath of God which is against us. And this morning, as we meet here under the new covenant, under His grace, believing in the blood of Christ, we can say this: God is perfectly satisfied with the blood of the cross to be just and forgiving sinners. Now the question is this morning, are we? Am I satisfied this morning that the blood of Christ takes care of my sin problem? Are you satisfied? God is. We might as well be, and not struggle to try to do it ourselves. We can't be worthy by anything we could do to add to the cross or to find some other arrangement. I like this. God is satisfied. I might as well be. Now, let's think about some facts about propitiation, understanding what it is. First of all, propitiation is the work of God Himself. It is monergistic, not synergistic. Mono meaning single, alone, God alone. Synergistic would mean God and someone else, you and me. No, it's God alone. Propitiation is the work of God Himself. And we read biblically that He, God, sent forth His Son. That's the initiation. Didn't come from any human. We didn't think of that. God thought of that without our help. For what purpose? He sent forth His Son to be the propitiation for our sin by His blood, by His grace. It's God alone. It's not God and our decision. It isn't even God and our faith. It's God alone. Propitiation is from God, of God, by God, for us. Secondly, propitiation was made by the death of Christ. No other way. Not by His teaching. Not by His moral goodness. Not by His miracles, not by His works, but by His death. By His death, He propitiated the justice of God. And His death is spoken of by His blood. The blood is life. The blood represents life. And by the shedding of blood comes death. And that blood is an atonement for our sin, a covering. And Christ died as a representative substitute for you and for me. It's amazing grace, because it's the innocent for the guilty. And there He is, hanging, crucified instead of me, removing the wrath of God. Propitiation is the work of God Himself. It was made by the death of Christ. Thirdly, propitiation reveals God's righteousness. says that God, with the passage we read, God is just. Just means what? In this sense, fair, right, rightly judging right and wrong. God is just. He's a just judge who can rule perfectly. Now then, the passage we read said that he is not only just, he is the justifier. There is no way we can justify ourselves. It's simply impossible. But God has justified us so that in our Christian life we study the doctrine of justification, where the classic definition has been that we have a position before God just as if we had never sinned. And because God is just and justifier, his righteousness is revealed. He never compromised his righteousness or his justice in forgiving a sinner, because it's been satisfied. God is righteous in salvation. And God is righteous in condemnation. God is right in punishing the unbelieving in hell forever. Now, as a human being with sentiment, we sometimes feel maybe that's too strong. That's why the liberal element of Christianity preaches universalism. God of love could never do that. But he's more than love. He's holy. And to maintain his holiness, he made a way to justify sinners, and he carries out his justice in the condemnation of sinners based on propitiation. Now, we human beings have a basic problem, and because of modern psychology and philosophy, we look to human problems as being cultural and social and relational. Oh, you poor thing, you had a poor home. You deserve to be as bad as you are. Propitiation deals with our real problem. We have a sin problem. And that problem must be solved. And through propitiation, God not only solved it, he removed it. This morning, we are dealing with the heart of the gospel. We are at the cross this morning by looking at propitiation. God this morning is perfectly, completely satisfied. And this is where he meets with us. And we who were once estranged from him and going away from him have now been brought together in friendship, reconciled, accepted, access to him, and he meets with us. This morning, God is meeting with us because we're at the cross, reconciled to him. Is there anything greater in this life? No, there really isn't. But we get a lot of side benefits that flow out of our Christian faith, And we know what those are. What a glorious peace. What a joy is ours. And what a purpose for living. And how wonderful to see a glorious morning like this that God made. But there are a lot of people that are not going to enjoy this morning because of the burden of sin. With thankful hearts, we thank God for the propitiation provided for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, words cannot express, nor would we have time in an entire lifetime to adequately thank you. But with the best intent of our heart this morning, we say that to you. Thank you. Thank you for meeting with us this morning at the cross.